Hi, I'm Mal Majoros. I am an 8-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So talking to a friend of mine, Stephen Brown, he shot me a message on Facebook, said, you know what, I'm going through some cancer again, like it's a cold, but having another bout of cancer, and I wanted to talk to you about it. And you know, he still has that warrior spirit, so we're just gonna jump right in. How are you today, Stephen?
Awesome, Mal, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Oh, good. And we had you on talking about your book Relentless Metal. You run all sorts of marathons, and you're just the Iron Man cancer warrior, aren't you?
Try to keep the demons at my back, and the best way to do that is to stay in motion. I've learned.
That's true. So why don't we tell a little bit about yourself, so refresh our listeners' memory, and then we can jump right into how you found out you had it came back.
Yeah. So I lived with a chronic form of leukemia since 2006. It's called chronic lymphocytic leukemia. You know, had been a multi-sport athlete long before then, so it wasn't like I had an aha moment when I was originally diagnosed and became an endurance junkie. That's kind of always been my lifestyle. Was diagnosed in 06, went through some, you know, not terribly hardcore, but went through several rounds of chemo back in 06.
Right.
Went through a couple of years of follow-up, hit remission pretty quickly, got back to racing and training pretty quickly, stayed safely in remission for several years, and then I had a couple of mild hiccups in 2012 and 2013 where we just needed to kind of tame the beast with some steroids and some additional, one of my treatment drugs, the Rituxan, which we did. And then was back in remission again. And then just recently, well, let me backpedal. Really for the better part of 2016, mm-hmm. I've been feeling a lot of symptoms coming back. And my docs and I, we've been, again, trying to manage it just with steroids and with just kind of putting Band-Aids on the problem that we know was inevitably going to need treatment.
Right.
But you don't want to treat too soon, right? You have to wait for that perfect window of opportunity that's like, okay, either your labs or your diagnostics or your symptoms have progressed to the point that now is an effective time to treat. If you treat too soon, it's unnecessary. You treat too late, it's just that, it's too late. So, you know, you have to wait. You have to strike while the iron's hot, and sometimes it's hard to figure out what that is. So when I was on vacation back in July 4th week, kind of a lot of things just came together, and they were crummy. You know, I was feeling more fatigue. I was mm-hmm. feeling just generally lousy, and I was feeling a lot of shortness of breath. And then once my runs really started to suffer,
right?
You know, I tell people that I reached the point where 2 miles felt like 10, and 5 felt like a marathon, and that's not right. And it's not just a matter of, it wasn't just fatigue. It was all of a sudden you get a few miles into your run and you feel like somebody just handed you a piano to carry the rest of the way. You know, you just spent, and my chest was super heavy. And so I knew it was time. Talked to my doc as soon as we got back from vacation, talked about a treatment protocol. And so now we're one cycle down out of 4.
Oh, awesome.
And we'll go through this again every 28 days. I'm being treated with a new drug, new to me this time, because one of the drugs that I'm using this time wasn't even approved in the States back in 06 when I was originally diagnosed. So it's not brand new. It's been very successfully used in Europe for quite some time. And then I think it was 08 or 09 that it received FDA approval here in the States as a lymphoma and leukemia drug.
And you knowing your body and knowing your symptoms, you're the perfect example of someone saying, I'm not sure if this is good or not, but I should see the doctor. Because, I mean, you know, it's always the just in case. Like, you know, like we were talking before the show, you never want to have it, like you said, keeping cancer at your back. You never want to have it always looming on your mind. But if something doesn't feel right, you know, that's what the doctors are there for. Don't wait.
Yeah, and that's both the blessing and the curse of living with a chronic form of anything, you know, mm-hmm. and especially a chronic form of cancer. So you kind of know what symptoms to look out for. But then that also, anytime you feel an ache or a pain or you get a sore throat or you get a this or a that or the other thing, it's like, oh, crap. You know, is something coming back or is this just a normal illness like everyone on the planet gets? So
right.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. You don't want to throw the warning flag every time you feel something, but you're right. You learn your body enough. And, you know, you know when things aren't right enough to think that it's probably disease-related.
Right. So that's kind of surprising. When you said that you had it, that it came back, I was like, wow. Because you're like the marathon man, quite literally.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It is chronic, mm-hmm. right? So intellectually, I've always known that it will come back. Probably, but emotionally, I would say, nah, it won't come back.
Right.
It won't come back. Well, I won't get it, right? Someone else gets.
Anybody else does, exactly. Every cancer survivor thinks, oh, that's somebody else. Somebody else gets that, not me.
That's right. And I remember having a heart-to-heart with one of my daughters when I was going through some of the steroids earlier this year, and I had mentioned that, you know, because I try to be as positive as I can. You know, I don't want people thinking, you know, oh my God, he's going to need treatment next week, next month. Like, I'm a realist, but I'm an optimist at the same time. So I would frequently tell, you know, friends and loved ones that, you know, I have a couple of mild flare-ups and I'm trying to take care of them with steroids or trying to manage them this way or that way. Treatment's an option at some point down the road, but no time in the immediate future. And then when that became more and more apparent, and I was explaining that to my daughter, she finally just said, I'm so glad you're telling me that because we've all known that forever. But it seemed like we didn't want you thinking you were living in denial, like you're not going to need treatment. And I told her, no, I know and I will need it too, but I was trying not to be an alarmist and talk about it too much.
Right. Well, I mean, that's hard, though. It's hard to, like, think that you'll always need treatment or every few years because you always think, even if it's a chronic illness, that, okay, this is the last time. This will go away now. We're good.
It is. But
I don't know more.
You're absolutely right. But at the same time, I feel like it's a really good time to have a blood cancer. I know that sounds crazy, but
it does sound a little crazy.
I feel like there are so many treatment options either in the approval pipeline or in the clinical trial pipeline or in the development pipeline. I just think there's so much hope and there's so much possibility on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, perfect example is the drug I'm on right now wasn't even in the picture for me in 2006. And the results that they're having with this combination of drugs is off the charts phenomenal. So, you know, the mere fact that I was able to wait this long before being treated again is a huge win for me. And if this treatment, again, knocks it off the radar for many, many, many more years, God knows what's going to be available and common practice then.
That's
true. There's already things that are available, but maybe not in mass consumption, that are pretty close to like a magic pill for my disease where you take it once a day and you're done. So I feel good physically and I feel optimistic that there's a lot of good things happening.
So how much more treatment do you have?
I have three more to go.
Mm-hmm.
Every 28 days. So I go in Monday and Tuesday, essentially every 28 days. Well, let me rephrase that. It's
okay.
My doc is hopeful that we'll get four treatments. I think the actual, if you look at the drug protocol, I think they say 4 to 6, but nobody ever gets 6 because by the time you get anywhere near 3 or 4, your blood levels plummet so low that it doesn't make any sense to continue to treat. So you reach a point of diminishing returns and you say, all right, we're good. We've gone as far as we're going to go. So my doc's hopeful to get 4 in. Before things start to downward spiral too low. And if we get 4 in, great. If it ends up being 3, but diagnostically and, you know, from a hematology standpoint, I look good and feel good and my labs are good, then so be it. I'll take it.
So are you still running during your treatment now, or how's that working for you? Because that's got to be hard Go ahead.
It took the first week to figure it out because mm-hmm. it's a new drug and I'm not sure you know, A, it's been a while since I was treated, and B, being new, I didn't know what the side effects were gonna feel like and what I was gonna be up for. And then on top of that, my oncology office actually moved about 3 miles further away, and I got to cross through some congested highway ramps, and it wasn't gonna make for a conducive run home like I used to do. So I have a new little ritual that I've set up, and that's that on treatment days, or at least on the shorter days, I will, of course, my wife's with me at all the treatments, and there's a war memorial park, which is about a half mile from where I'm treated.
Oh, that's nice.
My dad has a memorial bench there, and that's kind of been a very instrumental place for us to go whenever we've needed something, right? Something
right.
emotionally or spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll leave treatment and we'll go to the park and just have a little moment, you know, talk to my dad, go for a walk, and then I'll do some running around the park and call it a day. So I'm looking forward to that over the next 3 cycles. We did it last week, and it was it was meaningful. It made a difference.
That's awesome, and that's great. I mean, what memorial was it that you have your dad's?
It's just called the Lawrence Park Memorial in Marple Township. It's mm-hmm. on in Lawrence Road in Marple, PA. And I mean, the other part of your question was, am I running in general? And yeah, you know, a couple days last week was not up for it, but had a great run last night, and I'm hoping to still put together enough of, well, it's not going to be pretty, but I'm going to race a sprint duathlon this weekend.
A what?
Down at the Jersey Shore, so.
A sprint, what? What are you running?
A sprint duathlon, a run, bike, run format race.
Wow.
So it won't look pretty, but it'll feel good mentally.
Hey, as long as you finish or try, that's all that matters.
That's it. That's the only goal. Yep.
So that's nice that you have a bench memorial for your dad so that you can be there and you can feel him spiritually helping you through any decisions or any difficult situations that you may have, such as this.
Yeah, it's a really gorgeous park,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of conducive to any kind of activity. Like it's got a walking trail around the perimeter. It's got a play area for kids. It's got a wooded area. There's lots of benches. It's a pretty park, and it's a nice place, and it's conveniently located. And there's a big mountain of a pile of dirt that I don't even know what purpose it serves, but it's kind of off to the side of the play area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become kind of my ceremonial battle cry around treatment time. And if I'm over at the park, I'll run a few laps, and then I'll end up sprinting up the hill and giving a big, you know, kind of letting my voice be heard to cancer that I'm there to fight it and I'm there to kick its butt.
Awesome. So when's your next book coming out? That's the question. You have your Relentless Medal. You got to do a sequel to that, right?
Yeah, I guess I do. We'll give this some time to breathe, and we'll get all through the treatments, and you know, live with that remission for a little while, and all the subsequent follow-ups, and then we'll see where it takes us. I am actively posting about all of it. So my website, remissionman.com. I've been, and this is more for my own therapy than anything else. Just day by day, how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, what the appointment was like, what chemo was like, what the run felt like, just kind of tying together all the emotions associated with A, cancer, and you know, how it relates to B, the whole multi-sport mentality and lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. But it's for you, but cathartically, but you know, it's helping other people, because you know, there's other people around that, you know, the great thing about a blog is you put your emotions out there and you can just leave them there, and if somebody reads it, great. If someone doesn't, that's fine.
Totally agree.
And you know that you'll make a difference in someone's life, whether you know it or not. And I think that's the great thing about blogs.
Yeah, and nothing moves me more than getting an email from a total stranger that might say, you know, hey, I just read something on your blog that was really meaningful, and here's why, you know,
right.
And you have no idea who that person is, but it's like, that's very cool. I somebody took something from a thought that I had and was able to make something good come out of it. So that's great.
Well, you know, that happens all the time. They just sometimes they just don't tell you about it. Because I know that when I've met survivors, and when I was first diagnosed, I went to a conference and I met a lot of young adult survivors, and a lot of us were going through the same things. But unless somebody either that you see or another survivor that tells you, you know, we may not have the same cancer, but I know exactly what you're going through. It's kind of like,
yeah,
you know,
I got a great email today,
yeah,
you know, on the subject. I got an email from this is crazy, but someone who works for the PR firm that represents Rituxan.
Oh.
Is one of the drugs that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in touch with them in the past, and they found me years ago just through all of my posts where I would either write or tag about Rituxan. And they said, hey, Steve, I haven't heard from you for a while, although I am keeping tabs on your blog. I see you're getting treatment again. Sorry to hear that. Hope all's well, yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, here's a PR rep for the folks that market my drug.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny how the universe kind of all comes together, you know?
And then you should say, well, if you want me to speak about your drug, you can make it a little cheaper for me.
Huh? We've already had that conversation.
Oh, okay.
About opportunities. I got something in the mail from them. It was almost like a frequent flyer from the manufacturer.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Offering a discount on the upcoming treatments, which, you know, worked out really well.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, they contacted you and you contacted them. I mean, that's another good thing that survivors can do. You know, there's nothing, the worst anyone can say is no. You know,
that's
call
right.
The Patient Advocate Foundation or even the drug company and say, you know, I'm going through this the second time or even the first time. Is there something you can do? If they say no, then, you know, you've exhausted that option. But, you know, like you said, they sent you a discount card or frequent flyer card. So that's excellent. And
yeah,
what was that? Just a slight conversation, and they just were checking out your blog. That's another.
That wasn't even the PR firm. I mean, that was just the manufacturer. I got it in the mail, and I thought it was like a hoax, right? And I took it into my oncologist, and I said, can you guys decode this and let me know what the heck this is and if this is valid or what? And I think I know what happened. I think when they were putting through all my insurance pre-certs, they were just exploring other programs and other opportunities and other discounts and other things that they could do with the manufacturers.
Right.
And they were able to, the one organization was able to come back with this additional benefit that I'm sure I'm not any rare exception, but they were able to provide something for patients. So you're right. You're absolutely, it's in your best interest to ask, because you never know what's out there. And there's all kinds of programs out there that if you don't go snooping around, they're not going to come to you.
Exactly. And even, and I got to say this, just for regular medications, my fiance has, you know, the medications go up and down and, you know, they fluctuate and we don't know how they do that. And he has one that he has to take and he can't not take it. So it went up from like, I think it was $17 to $90. And he's like, what the hell am I going to do? I can't afford $90. So I just went online.
Yeah.
I typed in the name of the medication and I found a couple of just those coupons that you see,
mm-hmm.
discount cards. And I took it to the pharmacy and, I mean, it went down to $50, which isn't as good as $17, but it's better than $1,200 a year. So,
yeah.
You know, there's always,
I totally agree.
Always, you know, look that out. Like I said, that was even Google. Even if you're, you know, the company that manufactures a drug doesn't give you something, just
mm-hmm.
Google, you know, discount Bendeca. Drug. That's
coupon
when
codes or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing what's out there, and you know, if you don't look, you'll never know.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Spot on.
Yes. So how's your family dealing with all of this? With your
really well. You know, I think they take their lead from me.
Mm-hmm.
If they see me feeling good and acting normal and going about my business, then I think they're good. If they see me having a crappy day and not feeling up to par and moody or whatever, you know, they're gonna just be a little more guarded.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my kids are now much older than they were when, you know, they're not little girls anymore when I was
right.
first diagnosed. So they're adults and they're old enough to formulate their own opinions and you know, they have good intuition and insight into treatment and symptoms, and you know, they know when certain lymph glands aren't looking the way they should and things like that. So, but everybody's taking it well, and part of it is just due to the fact that I'm so far after this one round responding really well, and you know, the side effects have been minimal, so I'm kind of full speed ahead.
So what kind of side effects do you have?
A little bit of fatigue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's not...
mild nausea that mm-hmm. will come and go. But you know, I'm getting something at treatment time to offset all of that stuff, and then I'm also walking away with other scripts that, you know, over the course of the next several months, as I feel any of those symptoms, I can take something to offset them. But you know, a lot of it is just trying to get and stay healthy again. Mm-hmm. Like it's my doc said, we were talking about this just the other day, and he says, you know, fatigue manifests fatigue. So even though, as crummy as you may feel, and he doesn't have to tell me this, but he tells all the other patients, like,
right,
even though you might feel crummy, try to get out and move. And
exactly.
Just try to go for a short walk. And it's, you know, the trickle-down benefits are going to be exponentially worth it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to just, you know, so treatment week it was and will be kind of a bust. It's not gonna, mm-hmm. I'm not going to expect a whole lot of productivity on my treatment weeks. I'll be lucky to get in a couple of extremely short, mentally therapeutic runs.
Right.
But then, you know, the off weeks, I'm looking to rebuild and rebound and get strong again and feel really good, and then do it all over again in 28 days.
Well, and I think that's very important, even just to walk outside, or, you know, if the weather isn't as good as you'd like, or rain or something, there's got to be a track in your local area to do that, because even just to walk out, I would say outside in the sunshine, just does you a world of good. And you know, my fiancé and I like to go for walks in different parts of the town, and there's like a Victorian era type of housing area near where we live, and we just love to walk through there. And you know, even if you have to drive somewhere to walk, which sounds kind of funny, but you know, that you've never been before, and you're like, oh, I'd like to walk there, or I'd like to check that out. That's a good therapeutic thing. You can check out things that are going on. Maybe I love to take pictures. Take your phone with you, take some photographs, you know, get one of those little apps on your phone. You can see how far you've walked. I mean, it's just, you know, all sorts of good things come when you just do a little thing like walking or exercise.
Totally agree. Yep.
Or your marathon. What is it? Bike run? What's it called?
Yeah, bike run. Or I'm sorry, run, bike run. It's a duathlon.
God.
So.
No swimming
but
for you?
Well, not.
Not that.
Yes,
swim.
Generally. I mean, I've done a lot of triathlons, but not. I haven't this year, just because some of the struggles I've had, and I've been sticking to my feet and my bike, but we'll get back into the water soon.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because I mean, I know people who do triathlons. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's my other passion.
That's just crazy.
The other thing that's new for me this time is I didn't have a chest port last time I was treated. So I got to experience the beauty of having some foreign material shoved in your chest that's connected to your vein, which is kind of
the bottle cap,
creepy and cool at the same time.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I kind of regret is I didn't save mine, because I was just like, get that thing out of here when I was finished with it. I know some people save it as a memento, and I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence of whether or not I wanted to, but... Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing to get used to, having that there.
That's funny. I never would have thought of that. I'm glad I mentioned it, because I will absolutely save mine now that you say that.
Yeah, I know that a friend of mine, he was a race car driver, and he put another friend of mine's port on his car when he went for one of his races. As like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, stuff like that kind of thing will remind you, like, oh, yeah, this is how I felt when I was tired. you know, so you can look at that port and be like, yeah, I'm not going to let this get me down. Even if it's not cancer related, or you're just kind of like bummed out and not feeling well, it's like, look at that port and be like, oh, I got to go for a walk, or go for a run, or, you know, run across the country or across the state or whatever.
It's a strange sensation now. I mean, it is, you know, it's fully healed and, you know, the stitches are dissolved and everything, but I forget it's there, and I'll rub my hand against my chest. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah. Ow.
This thing?
Yeah. Well, try going to the gym and doing, like, you know, not the bench press, but the lat pull down. And it's just like, whoa, that feels weird.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I haven't done any like,
like gym workout,
real lifting, because it's only, my port is a week and a half old. Like, I got my port put in right before treatment. So, you know, they guarded me against much lifting for, I don't know, one person said a month, one person said 2 weeks. So,
I don't know about a month. I mean,
that sounds a little too.
You're pretty strong. Yeah, I think that's a little conservative on their part. But, yeah, I don't remember having that kind of restriction on mine, but like you said, everyone's different, so
right.
But yeah, how do you, I mean, it's probably a lot easier doing your treatments with the port though.
Oh yeah, and just even giving blood, you know, it's just I mean, I've never had a problem giving up a vein, because my arms are kind of veiny to begin with, but
right.
You know, when you're being treated and it's, you know, multiple cycles over an extended period of time, eventually your veins become a little less spongy and a little less accessible.
Right.
So this is great to have instant high-speed access.
That's your Wi-Fi right there.
Yeah.
It's your chemo Wi-Fi.
And it's a power port, whatever that means. But they kept telling me, make sure you tell people it's a power port. So I think
plug your Mac in there? I mean,
I'm motorized. I don't know. I can't find the on switch. I don't know how it's going to, I don't know what it's going to do.
That's funny, a power port. Yeah.
It means something if you're in the medical profession. I think it has to do with the rate or the size, so that you can push
more medication in there.
More medication, thicker substances, things like that. You know what I mean? So, it sounds gruesome, but
it does. But yeah, I don't miss my port, but I'm glad I had it, just so that, you know, like you said, you get the medication in there. You don't have to worry about your veins. They flush it out after they're done. So, you know, it's. I mean, I think for people who say, "Well, I don't really want one," but if the doctor says you should have one, then I think you should.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Well, it was necessary for Bendeka. So for Rituxan, I can take that in the arm or wherever. But for the Bendeka, it's, you know, I mean, they say it's required, so that's why I got it. But it was kind of cool, because lying on the table, having the port inserted, I heard the team of nurses and my doc talking about, they were just talking, like chatting about my vitals and the procedure. And then I heard them mention my white count, and which was like at 38,000 or something like that, which is not, I mean, it's high, but it's not, we're not treating because my white count is high. We're treating because I have a lot of other symptoms. But at any rate, one of the nurses flagged that right away. She's like, wait a minute, hold the phone. What did you say the white count was? And both myself and the doc said, no, it's CLL related. It's not, you know, potential infection related. It's not a problem. And then to the doc, when he was stitching me up, he said, yeah, your lymph nodes are pretty bad, because when I was in there, I had to navigate the port through and around some of them. So that was just further validation that, yeah, it's time to treat when they're being that much of an obstruction in my chest, which is where I was feeling a lot of discomfort.
Yeah, and especially since you're running, I mean, that's your thing.
That's right.
And just like that, Stephen, half hour is up, and we want to. I know. Bam. Just like that, remissionman.com is where we can find out how you're doing, and we do. I want to know how you're going to do on your race. So you'll have to keep me in the loop on that
I'll certainly reach out.
Excellent.
And send you a pic or two.
Yes.
With my port.
With your
power port.
Your power port. Put like a little Mac symbol on there. Maybe Apple will give you something. Thank you, Stephen. If you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Medeiros. I am the Cancer Warrior. Check out my verified Facebook page, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. Also, check out my website, TheCancerWarrior.net. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.